Mary's song, the Magnificat, the song of the angels' announcement to the shepherds, Simeon's song of praise in the temple, the Issues, Etc. book of the month is titled The Songs of Christmas. This new arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 2 through 10. The Songs of Christmas is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. A great stocking stuffer for young children or grandchildren, The Songs of Christmas.
If we're serious about the Christmas season, now's a good time to reflect on those who are strangers in our midst and remember what it was like to be a stranger.
We don't want this willy-nilly kind of, yeah, Joe, get up and preach this week. Wow, you got a real gift. Great, got a gift. Let's make sure that he's qualified to use it well.
The trellis of Trinitarian worship has fallen into disrepair, and now you have a generation that when you treat the doctrine of the Trinity in 2 weeks of catechism class, their eyes glaze over.
These guys really think that the message is conveyed in their trickery or their theatrics rather than in the actual message that Christ bled and died for them.
Pro Football Hall of Fame wives, Love Issues, etc.
It's a strange thing to watch, isn't it? You have the complete indulgence of the culture in the buying, the getting, the bargains, the advertising, everything that surrounds the so-called season of giving, right? And it's obvious to everyone, and everyone is, no one's even pretending that it's not really the season of getting rather than giving. Giving is part of it, but the giving is more for the sake of the getting. So there's this collective guilt of the culture over being greedy during the Christmas season. And then there's kind of the collective, I don't want to call it an absolution because it isn't. It's just a counterbalance of, well, then let's give something back. Let's do something charitable. Giving Tuesday, a great example of that. You can go online. You can find the charity of your choice. Click, boom, you're done. Conscience cleared, because for all the greed that you've indulged in, you've done something for someone somewhere. You don't know who they are. You've never met them. It doesn't really matter. Now, the money does spend just as well, but is Giving Tuesday the real answer to our angst and our avarice during the Christmas season? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Christian vocation and Giving Tuesday with Pastor Brian Flammy in just a few minutes here. He'll kick off the program. After that, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us. We're going to do our series with him responding to evangelical proof texts in John chapter 14. And then I know that it's a tradition. It is. We've been doing it for 6 years running now, I believe. What's your favorite Christmas hymn and why? The second hour of Issues Etc. is open lines. We're going to be taking your responses to the question, what's your favorite Christmas hymn and why? And we're going to be playing those Christmas hymns through the second hour of Issues Etc. live this Tuesday, December the 23rd. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC, or in advance of the second hour, what's your favorite Christmas hymn and why? We have left space at our Facebook fan page for your answer to that question. Remember to tell us what the hymn is, why it's your favorite this year, and where you're listening. Facebook.com/IssuesETC, Facebook.com/IssuesETC, and our beloved on-demand listeners can always use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about Christian vocation and Giving Tuesday, Pastor Brian Flammy. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and author of a recent article for Around the Word Journal titled Giving Tuesday. Pastor Flammy, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
You say that the schizophrenia of our society, kind of the greed combined with a certain amount of guilt, kind of the world's brand of guilt, the best that the world can do is, you say, a mixture of legalism and mystical spirituality as an answer to that dilemma. What do you mean by that?
Well, sure. Yeah, I mean, this all came up for me, well, Giving Tuesday after, you know, Cyber Monday and Black Friday. When on the radio I heard a program about Giving Tuesday, which I had never heard of before, and it suddenly occurred to me that there's a fair amount of guilt over the materialism of this culture, even reverberates around the secularism of this world. And they're trying to seek out ways to make up for that guilt. The fact that they're spending so much money on TVs or, you know, other things, for even if it's for family, they feel guilty that it's just stuff that they're spending money on. And so I think it was the co-founder of Twitter was giving an interview about how he was supporting a new effort called Giving Tuesday, where a bunch of organizations come together to give people a chance to also give philanthropically and with a sense of altruism, as opposed to merely contributing to sort of the materialism of the society. And as far as the mystical escape goes, what I meant by that was that instead of recognizing sort of your station in life according to the Ten Commandments, specifically how do we see ourselves in relationship to our neighbor through our family, you know, the people that we consider closest to us as our neighbor, why is it that, you know, giving to them, namely the things that we buy on Black Friday, why isn't that enough? And then it suddenly occurred to me that, well, it's not enough because these people actually sin against you and you have to forgive them. And also that you sin against them and they have to forgive you. And then giving with a sense of unencumbered heart is much, much more difficult. So I hope that gets at kind of what you were asking.
I'm curious. It sounds like what you're saying here is, in some ways, the world's guilt over its we call it avarice, but maybe it's just their willingness to go out and get a bargain and spend and do all those things is not necessarily as warranted as even Christians sometimes say. That, you know, it's not a bad thing to go spend money, and it's not a bad thing to keep people employed.
That's right. And in fact, when I talk about our participation in the economy, like in our adult instruction classes, I'm keen to point that out, that oftentimes you are supporting the person in the checkout line when you go to that, you know, store and buy goods from it. You're supporting the fact that they get a paycheck and get, you know, pay for their children's food on the table. That's a good thing. And also, even when we buy items for Christmas, you know, a lot of these Christmas gifts are things that we use for entertainment or leisure. But nevertheless, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as it doesn't, you know, infringe upon our duties to our neighbor. If we can sit down as a family and enjoy a movie together because we made enough money to buy a big screen this past year or that we can afford a DVD, you know, that's not a bad thing. But nevertheless, you know, the world looks at this and they say, hey, this is all just stuff that we're buying for ourselves and for our families. We need to do something that's pure love, that's unencumbered by this sort of materialism, which, for whatever reason, even though it knows it needs this materialism to survive as a country and as a society, it knows that there's more to life than that. But instead of turning to, you know, what God's Word teaches us about the necessity of living within our vocations and then also teaching us the sort of transcendence that comes to us through Christ, that He is able to save us from our guilt in a way that sort of ill-defined altruistic giving cannot.
But you're definitely not saying that greed is good.
No, not at all. Greed is not good. Greed is a selfish expression against the first commandment. It's putting ourselves above God, and it's putting ourselves above our neighbor. And the world recognizes this, that this infatuation with self and with materialism that serves the self's purposes. But instead of clinging to what Christ only can give, that is a conscience that's free from guilt, instead it tries to seek out works to do to make up for that guilt on it by its own power and by its own strength. And because of that, it's often hard to do these works with people that you know, namely, you know, members of your own family or people you know at church or people you know at work. And so it tries to find a community to do good works for that you're already predisposed to liking. Why? Because they've never done anything against you. And so Giving Tuesday gives you the opportunity to sort of jump online, find your charitable organization that helps a group of people across the world, enables you to give some money to an activist cause to accomplish some good in the world without actually laying eyes on the person that you want to help. And I think that this sort of giving enables people in society to feel like they're unencumbering their guilty conscience in a more effective way than they would be able to if they had to give to someone that may have hurt them in the past or may hurt them in the future. Your mom or your dad, your kids or brothers and sisters, people at work, or even people at church, you know. Christians sin against each other all the time. And so this is why I called it a little bit of a mystical escape, that it seeks to jump out of the station that God has put someone in life in order to find something that's unencumbered by the weight of personal relationships, so you can actually feel like you've done something good for somebody else without also holding something against them because they've sinned against you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so the math is kind of like this. We are very greedy this time of the year, so let's make up for it. Let's balance out the sheet a little bit by doing something good and selfless, and what could be more selfless than going online and clicking a link that transfers money electronically via PayPal to the charity of my choice, the one that tugs at my heartstrings enough, and then I can go to bed that night feeling like I've evened the score. Sure, I was greedy, but I have a card that says that, $25 has been given in my name to whatever fund.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And it's interesting that this has really been an online campaign, and I think it serves this purpose of sort of detaching people from real-life interactions. Certainly the interactions you have with people online are real. But at the same time, there's an artificial barrier set up between us and the people that we're interacting with, computer screens and lines and wires and miles of separation in that sense. So it makes it easier to do that kind of stuff.
Are you saying, the old adage is that charity begins at home, but it sounds like what you're saying here is that two things, perhaps this disconnected, anonymous kind of charity may help to appease the conscience, and it may, in fact, also do a lot of good out there in a civil sense, but it's not the solution to the world's angst over its avarice.
That's right. It's not the solution to its angst. And in fact, we know that if you look at the website for GivingTuesday.org, it likes to tout in its latest news releases how much giving has been increasing over the past few years since they started this initiative. But nevertheless, we can also look at the past track record of Cyber Monday or even of Black Friday to see also that our commercial investment has been increasing at the same time, too. And the way that the organization describes itself, or the collection of organizations describes itself, is that, these sort of economic barometers for success that we usually take Black Friday and Cyber Monday to be shouldn't be the measures of the society's success. Rather, we also need a moral gauge, a moral compass to see that we're not just driven by materialistic greed, but also that we have, I guess, the ability to love one another. And so that's how it set itself up, as a measure of a nation's moral health, which I found really interesting, especially since there are no sort of objective measures of society's moral health other than just how much they give charitably. It doesn't matter to what charity it is, as long as somebody gives something to somebody.
Pastor Brian Flamme is our guest. We're talking about Giving Tuesday and Christian vocation. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and author of a recent article for Around the Word Journal titled Giving Tuesday. We'll be right back. More with him.
Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this year, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind when you consider your year-end giving.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. the gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Just in time for the Christmas season, we have a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. and our sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Christmas programming bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekends of December 21st and 28th. Talk radio and sacred music for the Christmas season, issuesetc.org, and click support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkham. We're talking about Christian vocation and Giving Tuesday with Pastor Brian Flammy, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and author of a recent article for Around the Word Journal called Giving Tuesday. Pastor Flammy, you write about, in essence, the Christian doctrine of vocation, how it frees up the Christian. In essence, you don't have to balance out your guilt. You don't have to love everybody in the world all at once. Talk about that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So one of my favorite parts about Luther's small catechism comes at the very back. It's the table of duties, which goes through the stations in life that Scripture teaches, also in light of the Ten Commandments. And in light of the Ten Commandments, we learn that, well, first of all, that we have to understand ourselves not as the center of the universe, but understand ourselves in relationship to God, that there is someone who has created me, that I am indeed a creature. And that he that is owed to my Creator, fear, love, and trust above all things. That he has a name, and that also that he has a word that we hear, and it is to be hallowed. And that's what the first table of the law teaches us. It teaches us that we ought to be Christians. You know, when you talk about the name of God, you're talking about doctrine, you're talking about the Sabbath, you're talking about hearing and learning the word of God. But then we also learn that we aren't the only creature in the universe, but that there are other creatures in the universe that God has also created. And in the same way as he loves you and sent his son Jesus to die for you, so he's also sent his son Jesus to die for all these other people in the world. And that's what we learn about in the second table of the law. In the fourth commandment, that you didn't just pop into existence, but you have a mom and a dad. And that in the fifth commandment, that you ought to love the people who are around you, that you don't have the right to capriciously take the life of another, and that you also ought to respect the marriage bonds that God has created in the sixth commandment. In the seventh commandment, that there is such a thing as private property, that the exchange of goods is necessary, and you ought not to backdoor the exchange of goods to get what you want. And then, of course, in the eighth commandment, that we all have a reputation, and it needs to be respected and honored, and that you don't say anything to damage somebody's reputation without cause. Then in the ninth and tenth commandments, this is where the world gets all hung up, I think, is that you shouldn't covet something that God hasn't given to you. And the world looks at sort of the marketplace, the economy, and it says to itself, well, this is just a place where people run out and grab the object of his desire, which is true in a sense, but at the same time, it's a system that we find ourselves in that we can go out and buy things for our survival, for our enjoyment. And we know that God has given us the money to go and do that. You know, we have jobs and stuff like that. But the world gets hung up on this because it understands greed as not only a destructive force, but it also understands greed as perhaps the thing that runs the economy ultimately, which I think I would have a problem with saying that greed actually is the human impulse that makes the marketplace go. Instead, you know, we have to exchange goods for necessary reasons, you know, that, you know, I have to buy a house so my family has a place to live, that kind of stuff.
So you're not going to succumb to the temptation of kind of the, what I would call kind of libertarian cynicism that says, well, you know, everybody's out for themselves. But it sure keeps the economy buzzing along nicely. So whatever the cause of conscience we might have about that, we lay aside. You're saying no. I mean, a Christian, regardless of, it's better off seeing this as God caring for neighbor through every facet of our society and economy.
Absolutely. The thing is, you can be a member of this economy and be totally driven by greed, and that's wrong. And I think that's what Giving Tuesday sort of recognizes and then works against. But as Christians, we're driven not by greed, but for love of our neighbor. And because we love our neighbor, because we've been so instructed by God's word to love our neighbor, then we buy and exchange goods for the sake of our family, for their well-being, for the sake of the person who's running the cash register, the people who work in the store that you're buying from, that they also have a living wage to provide for their families. And in fact, you can look at the way our society is set up and the buying and exchanging of goods and actually see a lot of good happening there. Now, of course, God's law has to do with the intentions of the heart. And this is why we need to hear the law preached, so that we can check our intentions in light of God's law to make sure that instead of being driven by selfish greed, that instead we're being compelled to love our neighbor because we've been so instructed by the law.
And see, that highlights, I think, the difference here. Everyone longs for that good work of pure motivation, and it's easy to maintain that illusion if all it is going to the giving fund or going to some other kind of charity online, clicking the button. You can do that with a completely clear conscience, and you don't feel like you have any ulterior motives. But when you have to love someone right in front of you, it becomes quickly evident that we don't do any of these things, even the best things we do.
Oh, yeah.
From a pure heart.
That's right. Once those artificial walls of separation, of technology are torn down, you're looking someone straight in the face, then it becomes extremely hard. And then you realize that when you're loving this person, when you're actually doing something for their good, a lot of times you're doing it also for your own sake. And you see, and that's where the guilt kicks in, because you see that it's not purely altruistic, but it's also self-serving. And then when you recognize that, guilt clings to you like tar. And there's no other way to get rid of that guilt except through hearing the absolution from your pastor on Sunday morning when he preaches it, when he says it before the divine service, and also when you hear it when you receive Christ's body and blood. That's the only place where you can be absolved of that guilt. And the world can set up all artificial walls all at once to sort of give them the impression of true altruism. But they may have suppressed it, but they've never gotten rid of it. It's going to come up in some other way.
So should the Christian wait around until he is sufficiently and most purely motivated to love his neighbor?
Of course. I mean, this is the great thing. We know that what we do oftentimes is from a selfish heart, that we know that what we do is tainted with sin. And yet we continue to strive to love our neighbor because we have the absolution of Christ to fall back on. Instead of only seeing our sin sitting in front of us and having that stop us from actually interacting with our neighbor face to face, we can say, yes, you know what, these works that I'm doing are tainted with sin, but at the same time, I know that Christ is working through my actions for my neighbor's good. And indeed, when I do these actions in faith, we have God's promise that they are truly good, and he sees them as good. And so, no, don't wait around until you've been purified of your feelings of guilt. Instead, trust the absolution of Christ, and then love your neighbor. Even if you see these works tainted with sin, then go back to church and hear the absolution again. That's really the source of true Christian good works for the sake of their neighbor. They can't be done outside and beyond the absolution that you receive from Jesus.
Pastor Brian Flammy is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and he's author of a recent article for Around the Word Journal titled Giving Tuesday. Brian, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back on this Tuesday afternoon, December the 23rd, we'll be responding to another evangelical proof text with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/LutherAcademy.
Fall is here, and it's time to toss your boots and pack your suits to escape the chill of winter. Opening its doors this December in Mexico, Hyatt Ziva is the perfect repose for all-inclusive splendor. With 9 restaurants, bars, and lounges to choose from each day, and sumptuous suites to retreat to each night, Hyatt Ziva is the only one in the region with a secluded beach. And for a limited time, you can enjoy a discount as part of their grand opening celebration. Call your travel agent or visit all-inclusive. Hyatt.com.
If any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me, I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight.
With a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying...
Tired of the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the ministry and ecclesiastical supervisors doing nothing about it? Register today at acelc.net for our next conference, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Don't just rant about it. Find out what you can do at acelc.net.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, etc.
The world celebrates its Christmas because its Christ was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger.
The Church's Christmas, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The Church celebrates her Christmas because the true Christ was crucified and wrapped in burial cloths and laid in the tomb.
For any size year-end donation, we'll send you an audio link of this sermon and an Advent sermon preached by Todd. Donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Please include your email address in the memo line. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. IssuesETC.org or Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234, and write your email address in the memo line of your check.